Well, we're in the first week of the new NBA season. We only had the first two nights of the NBA season. And this Thursday morning, I did not expect to spend my time at a federal courthouse in Brooklyn. But yet, there I was in the fourth floor, Cabin Plaza, listening to FBI Director Kash Patel talk about how the NBA had its newest insider trading saga. You may have heard it by now, but the Department of Justice unveiled two indictments involving more than 30 people. The two most prominent names, I would say, are Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups and NBA Hall of Famer, mind you, and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier. I will save you the TLDR. By now, you've probably known a little bit, or maybe you haven't. They were arrested. They were charged as part of what the federal government says are allegations of sports gambling, an illegal sports gambling ring, and then also a rigged poker game ring, with Billups involved with the latter, Rozier involved with the former. Today, on this episode of Business Decision, emergency episode of Business Decision, I have Yaron Weitzman, NBA reporter, author of the new book, Hollywood Ending. It's out now. Go get it. Go get it. Actually, we're going to talk about the Lakers in this one. So this is perfect. Yeah. This counts as promotion. Yaron, I wanted to talk to you because I have been living it for the past like 12 hours, but also for months before that, and you have not. So I thought it would be good to talk about this with someone who is not deep into the weeds. And let me know what you view this thing as, and maybe we can talk it out to a quick 15, 20-minute podcast show about what we learned today and what there is still to learn.
Well, can I see? Let me ask. Yeah, I'm interrupting you. I have a quick question. First of all, so how does this work for you? You know, you get an email saying this is happening, and then you rush out of your house, put your pants on, and get to the courthouse. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I got an email this morning.
One you can share, or is it like a whose email? Like,
I got an email this morning saying there's a press conference coming up in Brooklyn at the federal courthouse there related to the sports gambling investigation that I'm known and many others have known. It was coming out of the Eastern District of New York, which is in Brooklyn. FBI Director Kash Patel was there. Other federal government luminaries would be there. And then quickly, we kind of started to learn and piece together who was getting arrested, what was happening, who was involved. And, ultimately, at one point, someone told me an NBA head coach was going to be, arrested. And that's when my brain broke a little bit, I would say.
So are you because you're on the list of reporters that they know have been like doing on this. So you're on the email list. Is that what you mean? You and some other reporters get this email to come to the courthouse? Basically, an invitation?
I assume so. That part, I don't know. I don't know how wide it was distributed, but I know that I was at least one of the people who got it.
And then you don't know anything when you show up there, or you're making calls?
No, by the time we got there, you already know that, Chauncey Billups had been arrested. You knew that Terry Rozier had been arrested. Damon Jones, a former NBA player and who spent time around the Lakers the last few years, has been arrested. By the time you get there, you're just trying to figure out the kind of why of it all. And it was really interesting because for a period of time, we were handed physical paper copies of this indictment, which was the only public copy of the indictment available. So you're reading through it as the press conference is going on, trying to see what's happening. There's other people like hitting you up like, hey, where's the indictment? Where's the indictment? What happened? And I'm like, buddies, it's not on Pacer. It's not publicly available. I can't help you because I'm not going to screenshot every single page. It was a very interesting day. I'll say that.
So, okay. So, and I'm asking you because I've been in Lakers brain land for the day. So I've seen the alerts. But so my understanding is that, and correct me because I might be wrong, Rozier is about, Rozier and Damon Jones is what I've figured out is like they are about manipulating prop bets, basically, right? Games, action. And Chauncey Billups is a separate, basically stealing money in poker games. So I have that right. Correct me, enlighten, tell me what I'm right, what I'm wrong.
So, Terry Rozier is accused by the federal government of basically manipulating his performance so that a bunch of sports bettors could win money on prop bets related to him. It's about March 23rd, 2023 game when he was still on the Hornets. He supposedly told one of the other co-defendants that he would come out of the game early. He only ended up faking injury, and he only ended up playing 9 minutes and 34 seconds and didn't play the rest of the season, actually. And the co-defendant got that information, bet on it, told others who bet on it. And so there's a number of people who made, according to the government, bets on that. And that's kind of similar to what we saw with Jontay Porter when he was banned from the NBA, arrested,
right, these are
charged.
Basic prop bet manipulation. Like, these are like the, when people think sports gambling scandal, this, like, that's what they, it, what these guys are being accused of is what we think would happen, correct? These are like,
yeah,
the simple, these straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the government's story of it. I would like to note, being a reporter that I am, Terry Rozier's lawyers, they deny this. They've come out vehemently saying, this is not what happened. The NBA investigated it, and 2 years ago, and they found that nothing improper had happened. Now there's a federal investigation.
Question on that.
And charges.
Because I know there was some muddy reporting on this. Did the NBA ever announce there was nothing found on it? Or is that just Terry Rozier's representative have said that there was nothing found on it?
No, no. They released a statement. They released a statement.
So the NBA. So if that's the case, if there's the NBA is wrong in this, that's a real pie in the face moment. That'll be a real pie in the face moment for Adam Silver and his league, right? That we investigated this after Jontay Porter, he got up, like, he held it as an example as, no, this is a system working. We snuffed it out. This is a bad actor, and this would be the NBA. I mean, they let him play even. So missing it, claiming nothing actually happened, and then letting the guy keep playing when in theory it could have been happening again, and that would be a huge problem, correct?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And then, like, you know, aside from Rozier, the other stuff is, like, someone like Damon Jones, right? So Damon Jones was kind of this unofficial Lakers coach the last few years. He's a longtime friend of LeBron James. I think they were on the Cavaliers together. He used his position to get inside information, what the feds called non-public information, and then he sold it to sports bettors, other people who were eventually charged by the government. And so, like, he found out that on February 9th, 2023, a certain top Lakers player would not be playing that night against the Bucks. Texted someone immediately, hey, make a big bet because he's not playing, right? The next year, next January 2024, found out that another top Lakers player was injured and his minutes might be limited. His performance might go down because of it. Sold that to other sports bettors who then made a $100,000 bet on that Lakers game that the Lakers would lose. Ironically, the Lakers ended up winning that game. And so the people that he sold that to wanted their $2,500 back. So that's how Damon Jones used his position. And then there was co-conspirator number 8, who goes unnamed in the indictment, who found out or who knew that the Blazers were going to bench a few players because they were tanking in the March of 2023, and told one of the other co-defendants that this was happening so that they could then bet on it. Now, this co-conspirator number 8, again, is not named, but he is described as someone who is a resident of Oregon, who played in the NBA from 1997 through 2014, and who has been an NBA coach since at least 2021. Now, if you do a basketball reference search, certainly people come up that match that description. And so those are the different ways, right? Like, the someone bet on the Orlando Magic because they got information through a relationship with a player that the Magic would sit their entire starting lineup the next day. And so they bet on that. And that team, you know, the Magic lost by 24 points. So there are very close ties to the NBA here. There are people in the NBA, there are close ties. And so I don't know that we're done finding out everyone involved.
That Magic one, so we don't know who that person is yet, you're saying?
We don't.
So right now, and are these all connected? Like, is Chauncey and Rozier... Allegedly. Okay, we're covered. But are these guys, is this all connected? Are these rings connected?
Well, look, there's 3 people who are charged in both indictments, right? Damon Jones, who was also, like Chauncey Billups, according to the government, someone who's named the face card in this poker ring, a former player who helped lure in kind of future victims, right? People who would then lose money in these rigged games. And two other people who are both bettors and seem to be involved with these rigged poker games. And again, if co-conspirator number 8 is who we think it is, there might be someone else at the heart of this, right? Who matches the description of Chauncey Billups. So these are the kind of like the through lines, the threads between both of these. And, you know, some of the people who ran the poker rings who were originally named as defendants related to the Jontay Porter case, when he manipulated his performance because he was, you know, getting threatened for paying off his gambling debt. And so it's fascinating to see how this is all connected, and also what the NBA has to do it in the future. You know, like they have to. This is a big deal when you have federal indictments come down and a sitting head coach get arrested. Like that is an issue.
So okay, so the connecting dots. It seems like there is basically one organization ring. I thought that was a La Cosa Nostra reference, right? Which was pretty, that's like, I think we're back in 1994. But
four Italian crime families, according to the government. You know, the crime families, you know, found out about these rigged poker games and they ended up cooperating with them, right? Helped stage them, helped, you know, make them happen. And if people didn't pay up, you know, help threaten people to make sure that they end up paying their share.
And so basically it's like, it's almost like, tell you if I'm understanding this right. It's almost like whatever this large organization had multiple revenue streams, like one organization with different revenue streams, two of which include this poker, one of which is this poker stream, this poker game, and that involves NBA players, and another which is trying to find inside information, bet on games, and that's with one organization, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't go that far. I don't know that the mafia was involved in the other part of it, in the sports gambling part of it, but there are at least people who are involved in both.
So they might not be connected. They're saying these two might just be, it might just be Chauncey Billups or Legend. These people might just be popping up in multiple things, like, but we don't know that they're connected other than that one person was involved in both.
Yeah, we don't know the full breadth of the connection to this point. That's something that's going to learn. You know, the indictment doesn't reveal all the evidence all at once, right? We don't know what the feds don't know, which is an interesting place for the NBA to be in as well.
Is the government saying where any of the information came from, or does the indictment say where any of this information came from that they were able to, how and why they're able to unpack this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they have access to sources that they've been obviously, you know, some of these people have been cooperating with the government for the last few months. Like Jonte Porter has been awaiting sentencing for the last year, more than a year, I think. And his sentencing keeps moving back. You know, Shane Heenan has been in plea negotiations for almost a year. Others have been in plea negotiations or have already cooperated. And plus they have access to, you know, text messages, yeah, telegrams, all this type of stuff. But Yaron, let me ask you a question. When you heard this happened, what was your first thought?
How does this affect my book sales? No, what was my first thought? That's a huge deal. I know, like, no shit, but like it's a big deal, and that it's, you know, it reminded me, I couldn't remember the year, but like it was a year when the NFL, where it just felt like they were getting hit after hit after hit. Like it was the Ray Rice stuff. And I remember the Rachel Nichols asking Roger Goodell and he fumbled that answer. And it was, I forget all of it, but just felt like, oh my God, this league is just on thin ice or just, it's just not working. And obviously they overcame it. It reminded me of that, right? At the start of the NBA season and between aspiration and between gambling, aspiration being the Kawhi stuff and gambling. And we're like a day, it is an irony to it, because like we're a day after the launch of a pretty successful, I think, launch based on the public of the new media partners, right? And like people like inside the NBA, people seem happy at the NBC. Ratings, we all see all these things about ratings, but I don't care about ratings, but you know, people do. And it seems like, oh, there goes that momentum. So that was my thought. This is a big deal. This is bad. A coach, that's different, right? Like fringe players is one thing. The coach is pretty stunning. And honestly, yeah. I hadn't picked up, again, talking about, like, I had seen the Chauncey poker stuff. I hadn't seen, and because I'm not on it, I hadn't seen the part about, like, the tanking, right? Where basically letting your guys informing. And that's really close, and not saying it's a legend, but that's really close to taking that one step further, being like, you know what? I'm pulling guys out today on my own accord, not because the GM's saying we're tanking, because I'm going to probably reverse engineer payday off the books here, right? If you do that, like, all the business of sports is built upon the foundation that the games matter and that the results are clean, right? And trustworthy. And if you take away that, everything, all the money, this massive TV deal, all of this, it all comes pouring down. Those are my reactions.
I agree. And to me, you know, it's been interesting because the way that Adam Silver has talked about it is actually the same way that Cash Patel, the FBI director, talked about it today. He said, this is an insider trading saga for the NBA. And Adam Silver's compared it to insider trading, right? Where people shared non-public information to then make money off of it. The problem with that is, and this is my thought this whole time, is that the bad thing has already happened in these cases, right? You did not cap someone before they manipulated their performance, before they came out of a game early, before they impacted the game that they were playing and maybe helped their team lose or the other team win, like whatever it was. You're catching it after the fact, the product that has already been soiled. And as we know, no league's fans is as conspiratorial as the NBA, right? Like the league is in some ways based on conspiracy amongst its fans. And I don't know how this doesn't help that. It doesn't help spread that, right? Like now you have clear cut evidence like, hey, guys were throwing games. Like that's what happens with Jonte Porter and with Terry Rozier. That's something the NBA has to reckon with. And that's something that if you push for legalized gambling and you've brought it and you made it part of your business and players are now, you know, doing FanDuel and DraftKings commercials, like you got to figure it out. Because if you want betting to be a part of your business, you got to figure out how betting doesn't tank your business.
Let me ask you two quick questions. I have two separate ones. I'll give them both to you and then you can choose which one. One is, could Adam Silver be in trouble job-wise? And two, is the league vulnerable now for like some kind of lawsuit, right? from a fan? I'm not even kidding. Or this is the stuff of the gambling, right? But like, I don't know, man. I'm half kidding and reminded of the guy who sued, who'd he sue? LeBron tickets. Yeah, he was like, I know it's not so far removed from that, but if I'm being guaranteed, if I'm betting on an app and I'm being guaranteed a clean product and that, you know, everything's above board and it was not, I don't know. I'm curious. Those are two things I was wondering, two random things I was wondering that you would have better insight.
Yeah, I don't think Adam Silver's in trouble. I don't know that another commissioner would have done things differently. We've seen every league pull this in, right? Like the NFL has done it. Baseball has done it. They banned someone too. They had an umpire actually kind of get kicked out of the league. I think from that part, like, I don't know what a different commissioner would have done. You take the money. They all want the money, right? Like that much is clear. This is revenue. So yeah, I don't know. The lawsuit, like, it's funny that the victims, according to the government, to their indictment, in the Jonte Porter case too, the victims here are the sports books. They were the ones defrauded.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I guess that makes sense in a way. That's funny.
They were the ones who paid out the winnings.
Makes sense. Interesting. So then they could be the one. I guess they have their deals. I don't know. It's so interesting. It's your podcast, but I would say, like, what happens from here? Where do you go from here? What happens?
Now we follow the legal process. We see how much further the investigation goes. The question I kept asking myself all along as I was reporting on this and tracking this is, where did they hope this ultimately ended up, right?
They being the government.
Who would they? Yeah, the investigation. Like, where did this all end up? Like, you know, it had to be somewhere big enough that this would land. And I'll tell you what, like, connecting the mafia to NBA players and the head coach, like, that's a headline that the federal government can seize on.
It's legitimate, though, too, right? Like, this is a legitimate, like, I've seen some people in our, so, you know, maybe Cash Patel's maybe, and the government is maybe not this. You don't get a lot of overlap between NBA fans necessarily and, like, fans of the current government. And so I think people can jump to, like, oh, it's a conspiracy, not conspiracy, targeting NBA players. But this is legitimate. Obviously, allegedly, all this stuff. But if this stuff is true, this is not targeting. This is, like, these are legitimate crimes and legitimate issues that need to be looked at.
Yeah, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, this investigation began in the previous administration, right? It began in the Biden administration. Jonte Porter was charged and pled guilty under, you know, the Biden administration. And I know it's an indictment, but, you know, we'll see what Terry Rozier's side of the case is. But you know, the case that the government has laid out seems strong. So we'll see where they go from here. It's obviously, maybe it's a little bit weird because these are things we don't think about, right? As reporters, we're always trying to get the information. Who's sitting out? Who's not playing? Who's hurt? Well, sports bettors weaponize it so they can make money off of it, right? Like, to me, one of the interesting things is that it's almost weaponized tanking. It's criminalized tanking to some degree, right? Like, number of teams were tanking in this situation, and they found out who and who's not playing when, and they made money off of it. I'm curious to see how it goes. Like, I don't want to go too long in this podcast because you got things to do, but I think we should all be following this investigation for the rest of the year. We have to see how the NBA reacts and we have to see what ends up of this. And if anyone else gets named in this down the line, whether it's just charges or just in, you know, discovery in the trial, like whatever else comes out of it, because I'll be curious if this goes to to trial, and we have cases, and we have people testifying about some of the inside parts of the NBA.
Yeah, be fascinating. I'm with you. Fascinating.
Yeah. Well, Yaron, thank you for doing this. Everyone go buy his book, A Hollywood Ending. I think it's the one time I don't have it in my background. That's on me. It's on Amazon. I'm sure you've heard of it. Have you heard the story about Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Will Smith? That's from his book. You probably have. Go buy it now. It's wonderful. I've read it. I can't recommend it anymore. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening to this episode of Business Decision. Please subscribe on YouTube, on Apple, on Spotify, everywhere. Just subscribe, everyone. We'll catch you guys on the next edition. Bye.